Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
E-commerce business owners know the best way to run a successful business is to keep their customers happy. You build trust with your customers one package at a time. That's why smart retailers use ShipStation. ShipStation helps you run the smoothest order fulfillment process possible and cut costs, not corners. ShipStation streamlines all your orders from everywhere you sell into one easy-to-use dashboard, prints shipping labels, manages returns, and tracks inventory. You can even automate repetitive tasks so your team makes fewer errors. Plus, they get you the lowest possible carrier rates. You'll save up to 88% off UPS, USPS, and DHL Express, and up to 90% off FedEx rates. When shoppers choose to buy your products, turn them into loyal customers with cheaper, faster, and better shipping. Go to ShipStation.com/program to sign up for your free trial. There's no credit card or contract required, and you can cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com/program.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Thursday, the 26th of October, 2024. What did I say yesterday? Okay, I can't believe this. I said yesterday, the 25th of December. Whenever we get the 25th of a month, I often think of Christmas, how far it's off. It's 2-3 months off, you know. And I jokingly said something. Anyway, I got in the car today, and I hear this cheesy song playing. I thought, well, who the heck is this? I thought, hang on, did they just mention Christmas then? And it was Elton John, Ed Sheeran. So I actually pressed the button for the radio on the dashboard there, and up pops Heart Xmas. Didn't I say yesterday? I said, it won't be long before my wife puts on Heart Xmas. I don't know when that started. It is not Christmas season yet. You know, in my mind, you've got to get at least, you know, Halloween out the way, then, you know, Bonfire Night, and then you can think, you see, we're getting towards Christmas. But I can't believe she was listening to Christmas songs on the school run this morning. I listened to a bit of it. And then guess what came on next after Elton John and Ed Sheeran? Chris Rea, Driving Home for Christmas. anyway, but you know what? As far as the markets are concerned, I do think that I say this every year. I know people laugh at me for saying this, but I do think there will be a good chance for Santa rally, especially we're seeing a softening market here. And I do think this effect we're seeing in the AIM All share, for example, the small, you know, cap stocks in the UK, under pressure quite a bit. And that's because there's a lot of worry on the horizon. I mean, first and foremost, in the UK, we've got this budget, the Halloween budget coming up. And you've got Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves talking down the economy, not realizing what they've done. People are delaying investment. And there's also worries now. They've boxed themselves into a corner. They can't raise, you know, national insurance or income tax or VAT. So there's only three areas they can go on. And that's capital gains tax, inheritance and pensions. And so I think if you haven't got, I mean, it's not going to happen, you know, on the 30th. If Rachel Reeves announced she's going to up, you know, capital gains tax, then that'll take a while to implement. So I can't see that happening until sort of, you know, the next financial year. So my advice is if you, you know, if you are an investor and you haven't taken up your, you know, taken up your full allowance in your stocks and shares ISA, do that now, because you can put £20,000 in, of course, every financial year, and the profits you make. So let's say you turn £20,000 into £1 million. None of that profit's taxable, and every financial year you can put £20,000 in. So, you know, April the 6th, then you can put another £20,000 in. So you put £20,000 before April the 6th, and then another £20,000 then. So do that. But like I said, I don't think it'll be implemented until the next financial year. But I do think we're in for a Santa rally because there's a lot of worry about with that, so the Halloween sort of budget, then you've got the presidential election. But once you get those out of the way, we've got central banks reducing interest rates. China today has come out and they're doing more stimulus. So I do think we're on for a bullish end of year, but we have got some potential stumbling blocks along the way. But make sure, before next April at least, you have sort of starting to move your money from your stocks and shares account into an ISA stocks and shares account. And then that's, you're immune to that. In capital gains tax increase, if that's going to happen, But I do think that's what's happening to the markets now. People are selling in advance of that. We've got plenty of time, I suppose. Anyway, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. This is companies with a market capitalization below 100 million market cap. To receive my free tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. I don't send one out every week. Only when I think there's an opportunity. But just by signing up to that list, by the way, you get an added benefit, which I'll talk about at the end of the podcast. Okay, let's get into it. There's a lot of news out today, a lot of interim results from small cap stocks, and a lot of them are absolute rubbish. The AIM All Share is a stock picker's market, right? There's no point having a fund of the AIM All Share. And you'd be surprised. I looked at, must have been about 15 companies I'm going to be talking about today with results out. And I think one of them features on the Microcap League, which is on my website, which are companies below 100 million market cap that are profitable. And they're scored according to growth, value, health, potential, all that stuff. So the majority of AIM companies are loss-making and not doing well. They're average. All you have to do is pick a decent company making a profit that's growing, that's of good value. Discount everything else. There's a lot of trash out there on AIM. No wonder the index has had a hammering. Anyway, macro news. Number one, it's about AIM. This is from CityAM. It says, more bad news for London's AIM. Secondary funding tanks by a third. Secondary funding on London's alternative investment market has dropped 33% in the last year alone, as more bad news piles on the junior market. While IPOs have dried up on AIM, secondary funding hasn't fared much better. Only £1.2 billion was brought in through secondary fundraisings over the last year to the 31st of August, compared to £1.8 billion the previous year. This is part of a continued decline from a high of £6 billion in 2021, meaning the fundraising has dropped by more than 80% in just 3 years. Yes, I understand that. There's a little bit of worrying. If you are invested, I've said this many times, and I'll bang my head against the wall saying it as well. The market has changed, the environment has changed. We're in a bear market. Of course, fundraising is going to go down. And it's there because of interest rates have gone up. The cost of capital has gone up. If you are still playing loss-making stocks, pre-revenue story stocks, it's not the place to be. I did very well on those stocks in a 10-year bull market when the cost of capital was zero. Now you have to have proper businesses that actually make a profit. How many companies delisted recently from AIM? All of them are loss-making, high cash burn companies. It's not a loss, really. I mean, if you're an investor, it's a loss. But I mean, I think we need higher quality on AIM because that's why the index is knackered. If the quality bar was set higher, then it would attract more investment. Anyway, so it doesn't surprise me this dropped off that much because, of course, we've gone from in 2021, that was the end of the bull market, when everyone believes stocks are going to the moon. And generally, when everyone's in that position, everyone's in that sort of, the herd mentality or sentimentality is in that process, that arena of thought, the market's going to tank. Anyway, in the last year, only one company managed to raise more than 100 million through secondary fundraising on AIM. Who's that then? One of the greatest, this is a quote from Colin Wright. It said, one of the great successes of AIM market has been the ability for companies to raise money after the IPO to keep powering their growth. Colin Wright says, partner at UHY Hacker Young, who did this study, that element of AIM hasn't been working recently. I know, but it's a bear market. High interest rates, it'll change. It won't go back to the way it was, where money is free. Nowhere near that ever again. but it'll become easier for good businesses to raise money. It's very hard at the moment. Worries over AIM have persisted for some time, but have rapidly increased over rumours that the government may cut business relief on AIM stocks at next month's budget. They shouldn't be doing that. And in fact, this last sentence is correct. The AIM market is a vital part of the UK's efforts to create growth companies, so reducing the tax breaks attached to it would be counterproductive. Absolutely. If Labour are serious about achieving growth, they shouldn't stimmy this part of it. They shouldn't cut the legs from this part of the market. Because, believe it or not, there are some cracking businesses on AIM. And the majority are not. Of course, they can't be. You know, you can't have, you know, an index full of exceptional companies. It doesn't work with that. The reason why some companies are exceptional is because the rest of them are not. You know, they're better than the average. That means there's fewer of them. But there are some great businesses on AIM. And they came to the market, generally, I suppose, to raise money. And now they're profitable. A lot of companies on AIM will never do that. Say a lot of resource companies, biotech stock companies, they've been, you know, cap in hand for years, decades almost. I think, come on. Come on. Anyway, story number two. UK consumer sentiment sinks on fiscal worries, trade body says. This is from Reuters. British consumers have grown more gloomy over the past 6 months following the new Labour government's removal of a welfare benefit for pensioners and warning of tax rises at next month's budget. This is throwing my brain in. How now they don't see how stupid they were, Keir Starmer and Rachel Reeves, trying to lump all the problems, kitchen sinking it, is what it's called, isn't it? When you get a new CFO coming of a company, pretty much, and the company's not been doing well, the CFO will do everything, get all the bad news out. You know, maybe for a quarter or half a year. And then they'll hopefully see some improvement. And so all the bad news that happens in the first half, they can blame on the previous CFO or CEO or whatever. And then, the turnaround will happen. Obviously, the growth maybe start or get less bad. The revenue. And says, see, this is a turnaround, it's happening. But what Keir Starmer doesn't understand is, you know, this is not a small company on AIM doing this. You are essentially CEO of UK PLC. When you talk down the country, you delay investment. You knock confidence. And that has real world effects. And I can't believe how short-sighted he was in his 2.5 grand glasses. Anyway, the British Retail Consortium said households' assessment of the general economic situation over the next 3 months sank to minus 21 in September from minus 8 in August. September is the first time the BRC has published the results of a survey, which was based on a sample of 2,000 adults. Why is it the first time? They keep it secret, do they? Or maybe it's the first survey. The BRC survey showed that households' assessment of the outlook for their personal finances sank to minus 6 from minus 1. It's lowest since the start of the survey, although spending intentions edged up marginally to minus 8 from minus 9. So people's finances are going to get worse, but their spending edged up. How's that then? It was Christmas, I suppose. Anyway, last week, S&P Global reported softening in business activity as some companies put plans on hold until there was more clarity on changes to taxation and employment law. There we are. Story number three, last story. Musk hits back after being shunned from UK summit, says BBC Business. The world's richest person, Elon Musk, has hit back after not being invited to the UK government's International Investment Summit. He was not invited due to his social media posts during last month's riots, the BBC understands. So, yeah, during the riots, he was being a dickhead. Absolutely was. But that's no reason to turn down potential investment and jobs. Quote, I don't think anyone should go to the UK when they're releasing convicted paedophiles in order to imprison people for social media posts, Mr. Musk claimed on X. Earlier this month, government released some prisoners to reduce prison overcrowding, but no sex offenders were included, apparently. Coming 2 weeks ahead of the budget, the government is billing it is a huge opportunity to attract foreign investment to grow the UK economy. The Labour Party committed before the general election to hold this event within the first 100 days in office. I think that's quite childish of Keir Starmer doing that. And it's very short-sighted again. This is quite worrying, the lack of judgment here. This was a very good opportunity not to do it in a public forum, spying on Twitter, but actually to, you know, get Elon Musk on side and chat to him, explain what he's been tweeting is not correct, and give him the facts, and befriend him. People like that, the richest guy in the world, they're better to have inside your tent, peeing out, rather than peeing, you know, outside your tent, peeing in, basically. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but apparently Jeremy Hunt said that he spoke to Elon Musk, and Elon Musk said he was thinking of setting up his next gigafactory in the UK. I know he chose Germany over Britain because of Brexit. And that could be absolute rubbish. But when it comes to creating thousands of jobs, these are the guys that have the keys to that. And I think having this personal little feud with one of the, you know, he's an idiot on social media. I hate the way he's using the platform to, you know, promote Donald Trump and all that stuff. But he's a very clever businessman, you know, and he does create wealth. You want him in your country building gigafactories. So I think this is very childish, and again, another short-sighted decision by Keir Starmer. Anyway, okay, micro news. Okay, so these are small caps or micro cap stocks with revenue. Now, like I said, hardly any of these. I think one company out of all these are included on the micro cap league, which is on my website. And you understand why AIM gets a bad reputation, okay? And these are companies with revenue. There are plenty of companies out there with no revenue. So I'll go through some of these, right? And I'll cover three metrics: revenue, profit or loss before tax, and cash. Now, for growth companies, because that's what all companies, small cap companies, should be, they should be improving those metrics. And I've got to say, there are very few on this list where those metrics are improving. So, first and foremost, Arecor Therapeutics, AREC, the biopharmaceutical group advancing today's therapeutics to enable healthier lives. It's a bit bland, isn't it? Generalise that, a bit vague. Announces interim results till the 30th of June. Market cap, 25 million. Revenue, 2 million versus 1.7. So that's gone up. Loss before tax, 4.79 million versus 4.75. So that's gone up, the loss. So they've increased the revenue a tiny bit, but the loss has gone up. Cash and equivalents and short-term investments of 2.53 versus 6.6 million. But they did a post-period fundraiser of 6.4. So they've raised some money, probably a discount. I'm impressed there. AREA, ticker is AIEA. I probably going to change that name. The ticker's not easy, the name's not even. You can't even pronounce the name. Anyway, the UK design-led business specialist flooring company supplying both the UK and international markets announces interim results to 30th of June. They've got a market cap of 10 million. Revenue decreased 9.3 million versus 9.8. Loss before tax of 68 grand versus the profit last year of 620k. Cash of 2.8 million versus 4.9. But they've got debt of 1.5, so they've got net cash of about 1.3. Again, not really improving. Three, Aurigo International. AURR. I do quite like this company. I mean, the early stage, obviously quite capital intensive, I suppose. They are a leading international provider of smart airside. I nearly thought it said something else then. Airside solutions and automotive products. Reports as interim results 6 months. These are. Literally, they've done quite a few deals now around the world, different airports. These are autonomous vehicles that carry luggage and all that kind of stuff. Market cap of 34 million. Revenue of 3.8 versus 3. So it's gone up 800,000 in 6 months compared to last year. Loss before tax 1.5 from 1.9. So it's come down a bit. Cash of 1.8 at the period, down from 2.8. So they are cash burning. But I do like their tech. But again, loss-making. The figures are improving, but loss-making. Aviation. We're still on the A's. AVAP ticker. The Commercial Passenger Aircraft Leasing Company announces unaudited results for the year ended 30th of June 2024. This is unbelievable, this company. A market cap of 96 million. Revenue of $92.4 million versus 92.7. Now, I think this was a sale of an aircraft or one or two aircraft. So profit before tax of 30 million. versus 13.8. So that's improved. Revenue's improved up a little bit. No, revenue's down a little bit. 92.4 versus 92.7. So it's down a bit. But profit before tax is more than doubled to 30 million. And that, I think that's the sale of an aircraft. But net indebtedness, they've reduced that by 11% to 651 million.
What?
Total cash and that's net debt. So they got cash balance of 117 million, but they got net debt of 651. Wow. So yeah, I assume obviously they take on loans to buy those aircraft, but it's quite lumpy, that business, I assume, isn't it? Bellascura, ticker Bell. A leading medical device developer focuses on lightweight and portable oxygen enrichment technology, announces unaudited interim results to 6 months to the 30th of June. I did see someone saying, oh, look, the revenue's gone up by 267%. Has it? Let's look at the metrics. Let's put that in context, shall we? Market cap of 20 million. Revenue of $1.35 versus $370,000. So $1.35 million up from 370,000. Yes, it's a big increase on the old percentage, but it's still from a small base, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you earn $2 and previously you earned $1, you know, that's 100% gain, but it's still only $2. Loss before tax, this is a telling bit, 6.5 million versus 6.4 million. Net cash of 900,000. But they do have a convertible loan note and issues post 30th of June of 1.92 million. How far is that going to go on that loss, a 6.5 million loss? Not a lot. Next, Crimson Tide, Tide sticker. The provider of MPro 5 process management app is pleased to announce its unaudited interim results. Market cap 8 million, revenue, in fact, sorry, how remiss of me. Let me just look at these companies' share prices, see where they've been. So, quickly going through them, we've got Arecor. Arecor is down 3.3% to 65 pence. Area, whatever it is, up 6.29% to 26 pence. I don't know why it's down. I don't know why that's up, to be honest. Origo, it's up 3.59% to 77.5. That's the autonomous vehicles. Aviation, the airline leaseholder, up 0.04% to 135. Where else are we on? I've done Crimson Tide. Bellascura, where's that? Up 8%. On that revenue beat, well, it's not revenue beat, on that 260% revenue increase to 1.35. Woo! They're a 20 million market cap. If they double that, what's that? 2.7 million. Let's add a bit more. Let's say 3 million. They do for the full year. Let's say add 5 million. Let's say do 5 million for the year. That's still four times sales. And they're making a loss of over 6.5 million. Because I don't think they'd be profitable in the second half. People are often flattered by the revenue. Revenue is not nothing. It is something. You know, revenue does say, if revenue is growing, it's validation the product is selling. But if you're still loss-making, then the business is not efficient, is it? It's not, you know, you can't carry on with that. Crimson Tide. Yeah, Crimson Tide. So 8 million revenue, 3.1 million versus 3 million, so up a tiny bit. Profit for income tax or loss, 211K loss versus 471, so it's an improvement. Cash balances of 2.5 million versus 2.9, so it's come down. But they do say we now expect trimmed back revenues for the full year, though nonetheless still anticipate good year-on-year EBITDA progress. Where is Tide? Let's look. It's down 6% to 127. That is worth more than Bellascura. Ridiculous. I don't hold shares in that, by the way. I did do, and then they took off on the takeover bid, and I sold. CMO Group, the UK's largest online-only retailer of building materials, today announces interim results for the half year. Market cap 10 million. Revenue 30.3 million versus 36.8, so it's down, no growth. Loss of profit for tax, 1.6 million loss versus 763,000 loss. And they do say, almost quite pleased themselves, the group continues to have a sound financial position. The group's net debt position is 2.2 million. And it was net cash of 1 million last year. How is that sound? It's not that sound. You got net debt of 2.2 million. And you had net cash last year. where is CMO? Is CMO, they're down 3.45% to 14 pence. We've got a sound financial position. We're in debt by 2.2 million. Next, CT Automotive. CTA's ticker, a leading designer, developer and supplier of interior components to the global automotive industry. This is the interim results, half year. Market cap, 40 million, 4-0. Revenue, $60.5 million versus 68.2, so it's gone down. Profit before tax of $3.8 million versus 1.3, so it's increased significantly. Cash of 4.38 versus 7.59. Now, you think, how's cash gone down? They were in debt, but their debt's come down quite a bit. So they've got net debt now of 5.8, and they did have 9. So you can see they're paying that debt down. So they are improving, you know, the margins are improving. And they're paying their debt down. So 40 million market cap there. So let's say they do, well, 3.8 for this year. Let's say 4 million, 8 million for the year. What's that, a P of 5? It's reasonable. And I've got to say, out of all of them so far, that's, you know, been the best. Where is CTA? They're up 6.94% to 58 pence. Next, Ubiquity, dog of the day. Sorry, there's been several dogs. Maybe another dog of the day. Ubiquity, a world leader in media investment analysis, announced interim in 6 months. Market cap 29 million, revenue of 37.9 versus 40.6, so gone down. They've gone to a loss before tax of £943,000 versus a profit last year of 1.4. Cash has gone down from 10 million to 6.5. Net debt is now 15.3 to 15. So they've gone down on every single metric. Well done, Ubiquity, a world leader in media investment analysis. EBQ is ticker there, by the way. Where is EBQ? It's down 0.5%, but they did a profit warning on that trading update, profit warning a while back, back in August, which they dropped by literally, well, they went from 38 pence down to 26 pence. So I think it was priced in. So there we are. Now, Ektech, EQT, a global technology innovator powering distributed, decarbonized new energy infrastructure through its waste-to-value solutions for hydrogen, biofuels, and energy generation, is pleased to announce its half year results. Market cap 4 million, revenue 1.4 million euros versus 145k. They do the same, 10 times the revenue uplift. And then you get a loss before tax of 3.2 million versus 2.4. So, yes, they didn't boast about that, did they? Cash. As 646k versus 262k. The post period, they had a 1.1 million equity investment raised in September through the placing of new shares received in full settlement. But they got borrowings, though, of 6.7 million. So, you know, they are in debt. They're making a loss. They're in debt. Ethinity Networks. This nearly went bust, didn't it? ENET is ticker. ENET is the ticker there. They nearly went bust, and they literally are on a shoestring. They're down 9% a day. Ubiquity is down, yeah, I said that, 0.5%. But they are a market cap of 2 million. Revenues of 582K versus 1.4 million. These are dollars, so it's down a lot. Loss before tax of 3.5 million versus 3.6 million loss. Cash of 580K versus 136K. But like I said, you know, they've probably burned through that already because they've, you know, their loss is 3.5 million. So that's almost a couple of months' worth. And in fact, they just announced a subscription for new ordinary shares by the company by David Levi, CEO. David is conditionally subscribed for 9 million shares, raising a further £27,000. What? 27,000, is that national wage? How far is that going to get them? I don't know if I missed an announcement there, if that's a top-up to something else. But if that's all they raise, they should not be listed. The cost of listing alone would be, you know, there's a lot more than that. Flowtech, Fluid Power, ticker FLO, quotation marks, a world of motion. Everything we do at Flowtech is focused on keeping businesses moving. Whether that's supplying a product or designing and building a complex engineering solution, our vision is to be the trusted advisor in a world of motion. Just tell us what you do, yeah? None of the fancy prose. Just get on and just explain what you do, because I still don't know what you do. Nonsense, absolute nonsense. Market cap, 60 million. Revenue, 55.7 versus 59.1, so no growth. Profit loss before tax, 300 grand profit versus 1.6 million profit, down again. Net debt of 13.5 versus 15.4. Where are they? Flow, down 23%. Yes, in a world of motion, we don't really care, because we want to be the trusted partner for people who want to move around, or businesses. Just tell us what you do. Hansard Global, specialist long-term savings provider, issues its full year results. This is full year, market cap 67 million, income 169 million versus 92 million. So that's gone up. Profit before tax, 5.3 versus 5.9. What? What's going on there? Cash, 47.9 versus 52.2. So the cash has gone down, profit's gone down, income's gone up. So the margins have been squeezed a bit. Net assets of 20.8 million versus 21.8. So, yeah, Hansard. SHD's ticker there. They're up 3.43%, 50 pence. God, this is dragging on now, isn't it? Mobile Tornado. Oh, my God. MBT, a leading provider of resource management mobile solutions to the enterprise market, announces results 6 months, 30th of June. A market cap, 4 million. Revenue, 1 million versus 1.3. No growth. Loss before tax, 604K versus 527. No growth, or it's growth in the loss. Cash, 128K. Debt, 11.2 million. Net debt, 11 million. Oh, my God. Another dog of the day. I should improve that somehow. I think we're coming towards the end, actually. My Health Checked, the consumer home testing healthcare company, announces an audited half-year report for 6 months ended 30th of June. Market cap, 7.5 million. Revenue, 900K versus 2.5 million. No growth. Loss before income tax, 1.2 million versus 355K. Cash balances of 6.05 million versus 5.02. So they've got some cash there, but obviously they're burning cash. Where's that gone today? It's down 15%. Not surprised. So they've got more cash than market cap, you know, or pretty much. No, it's market cap 7 million cash. Like I said, in a bull market, they've done well on that, but not in a bear market. You've got to be generating your own cash. You've got to be making your own money, ladies and gentlemen. Novacyt, this was the poster child of COVID, of course. It did, I don't think, 3,000% or something ridiculous. An international molecular diagnostics company with a broad portfolio of integrated technology and services announces unaudited results for 30th of June. 48 million market cap, revenue of 10.3 million, that's versus 3.4. Loss before tax of 17.9 million versus 8.3. Oof. Cash of 32.9 million versus 44 million. So that's come down quite a bit. Yeah. Where is Novacyt today? It's down 6%. Touchstar, suppliers of mobile data computing solutions and managed services to a variety of industrial sectors. It's pleased to announce results 6 months. Market cap, 8.5 million. Revenue, 3.4 versus 3.7. Profit, so revenue's come down. Profit for income tax of 254K versus 307K. Profits come down. Cash of 1.7 versus 2.8. Cash has come down. And they've announced a strategic review. The board will be conducting a strategic review of the company to identify the optimal path for future growth and value creation to a shareholder. I just say sell everything, return everything to the shareholders. This review will explore various options, including a potential sale of the company, its assets, and or relevant transactions. Yeah. So there we are. You come to the stage where you're thinking, well, we're not making any headway. Should we just do something? That's it. Let's look at the markets quickly. Okay, let's have a look at the FTSE 100. It's up 0.27% to 8290. The FTSE 250, it's up 1.63%. Yeah, my fund is doing quite well today. That's a nice jump, isn't it? I think maybe that's... Is that helped by China? I don't know. FTSE... Where is it? Small cap, up. It's just shy of 0.9%. The AIM also, is it up, AIM? It's up, yes, a third of 1%, pretty much, 744. It's almost at 744. On the commodity side, gold is still going well. Is it? Gold is at 2,691. I keep mentioning this. There's some dickhead, little tiddler of a seller, selling in Ramsden's. Don't be so stupid. It's like a PE of 8. They've announced they're beating, you know... The expectations on pre-tax profit because of gold and all that stuff. Yeah, someone's trickling in the market a little bit. Say, just hold. Hold the gold. Hold for gold. 2,000. I think gold's going to $3,000. I really do. Copper's up a little bit. What's up? It's up 2% because of China. What's down is Brent crude. Down 4.5% to $70. And this is because Saudi apparently are not going to be sticking to price targets. So I think they're going for share, and they may be, there was worries, they may be flooding the market a little bit. So if you see some of the big producers, like Shell is down, BP is down. So that's that. That's it. Thanks for listening anyway. To receive my tips, email to sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up to this list means you qualify for 20% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. In fact, I had a lovely email this morning saying, thank you very much for the Sharepickers Investment Club and everything else. I won't go on, but it's very nice. Members' benefits include early access to the Share Tips, access to live weekly webinars where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed. In fact, that was last night. Access to the Microcap League. Oh, this is getting very exciting. I'm investing in the top 10 companies on the Microcap League because they've got amazing metrics. And I've just upgraded one of the metrics, and it so gives it more punching power, more visibility for very good companies. Anyway, these are what the Microcap League is. It's a list of companies that are sub 100 million market cap, they're profitable, and they're ranked according to their growth, their value, their health, their potential, their momentum, and their efficiency. And they're scored on 20 different metrics across those levels, measures. And then they're put in order. Also, a free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing, access to view my holdings, which I update after any new transactions, access to educational videos on fundamental technical analysis plus portfolio management, and access to the chat group. Go to sharepickers.com. Nothing in this podcast is investment advice. Please do your own research. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.